Good morning, everybody. It's 11:49, and if everybody signed in, I'd like to call this continued meeting to order, and we will open with a prayer.
Hello. Good to see you. There's a few of you here that I have not met before, I don't think, so I look forward to meeting you. Glad you were able to come out today. All right, let's begin the spirit of prayer. Loving and gracious God, we are so blessed to have so many members of our church care about our church. And we thank you, dear God, for the gift of this church and all who are able to come out today. We ask you to bless our proceedings with your grace, with your love, with your peace. We pray that all that we do here today with one another is acceptable in your sight. Thank you, God, for this community. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
So welcome to our continued meeting of our annual meeting. We are here to take up the issue of reconsideration on the bylaws. So we are in the discussion phase, and we have some new information. So I'd like to invite Reverend Linda up to explain the information.
Can I just ask one question?
Sure.
I'm not sure on the rules. Just what parliamentary authority are we going to use? Are we going to go by Robert's rules?
Yes, Robert's rules.
Okay, thanks.
A delegation from the bylaws task force visited this week or this past week with an attorney. And the purpose for that was to just explore more deeply legal requirements, both in bylaws and, as we discovered, as we dug a little more deeply in our articles of agreement. Those were articles that were filed by members of this church in 1966, when the church became incorporated. What became clear to us as we kind of went through that is that we felt that there's more work that needs to be done. And in light of that, we have met and talked and would like to take some more time to re-examine the bylaws and to continue to work with Attorney Fernald on those legal documents. And so that is the news that I want to share with you today. Jennifer.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Moderator. I would like to withdraw my motion of reconsideration on the vote on the bylaws that was taken for the last, when we had January 25th.
Okay, and it was Marty who had seconded that motion. Marty, do you withdraw your second?
I do withdraw my second.
Okay, we have a withdrawal of the motion and agreement from the second. So I'd like to take a vote from everybody. All in favor of the...
No.
Okay, so there is no vote on the floor.
It's just
withdrawn.
There are no objections.
So are there any objections? Can we what?
See the minutes. We have minutes. I'm particularly interested because my name was mentioned in an error, and I want to make sure it was correct.
So the normal procedure for minutes is that they
because annual meeting, a normal annual meeting that isn't continued, because the annual meeting ends and the rest of the congregation basically, you know, doesn't regather until the following year, the procedure that's followed is that the minutes are approved, are brought to council as an executive board for review and approval. Though that hasn't been done yet, well, review also includes fixing making corrections. So that actually hasn't been done yet. That needs to be done within a quarter. So I would expect those minutes would be brought to council at the next council meeting, as well as the minutes from this meeting for review, corrections, and approval.
Point of order. Could you tell us where in Robert's Rules it says we can do that? Because when I read Robert's Rules, it says very clearly, if there's a continuation of the meeting, the first thing you need to do is you really need to read the minutes of the previous meeting and have them reviewed, analyzed, and voted on, like you would any meeting, because this is a continuation of that meeting. It's not the same meeting, it's another meeting related to the first meeting, and it's very clear in Robert's Rules on page 371 that the minutes really need to be reviewed and spoken about. To give us continuity, notice what happened in the previous meeting, and now as we continue on with the meeting.
Yeah, well, actually, I just attended a workshop on parliamentary authority yesterday, and have been doing a little research too. And really, what's there's a lot of exceptions, and one of the things that I did learn yesterday in particular is when you have bylaws, they always supersede Robert's Rules. The way that this church is has decided to deal with annual meeting minutes is to have the council review them, and there is no reason to change that. Felicia.
I don't recall the council reviewing minutes before, and I've been clerk for many years, so I don't know where that came from.
I don't either, but that's the way we do it.
Well, I don't know how.
The council's been reviewing them for the last 3 years.
Okay, so annual meeting minutes have been reviewed by the council for the last 3 years, is what you're telling me?
Yes.
Okay.
Anybody's welcome to come to the next council meeting if you'd like to be part of that review process.
Is there anything else?
It's just a question. So, if the reconsideration has been withdrawn, then the original vote stands.
Correct.
So will it be forming a new committee for bylaws? Or?
No. As I said, the bylaws committee got together on this, and all on the committee are willing to take another look. Sydney.
I'm wondering, at council, I mentioned to the group that Robert's Rules suggests a procedure for offering revised bylaws to the, you know, the community, whatever community that is, in our case, the church membership, and that the task force goes through the bylaws, you know, part by part, reading the old bylaws, then reading the new bylaws, and then opening it up for discussion so that people can offer amendments and so on, and vote on each part as we go along. I think that would have meant for a great deal more comedy than we've had, but it's too late for that now, but I'm wondering if we could follow that procedure from this point on.
That sounds great.
My friend and Joanne Prue, who is a registered parliamentary for the state of New Hampshire. She was here at our annual meeting, actually a couple of annual meetings ago. About 3 days after we had our annual meeting on the 25th, and there was a rise in anxiety and concern. I called her to get some answers to some questions, just to be sure that we were being appropriate. So we talked about actually that as being an option of voting bylaws, but it's not quite as you describe it. What it is you take
article by article. It's not a comparison with the old. It's an article by article approval. That is a very less than desirable option to take because of the amount of time that that takes. So it's not a compare. What you're describing to me, what the way I hear what you're describing is somebody who wants to be involved in the rewriting. And certainly if that's something you would participate in, Sydney, I'm sure there would be no problem with that.
It's a point of order. Deb, you're the moderator, is that correct?
Correct.
We should be discussing everything with you, and we direct our attention to you. All responses get directed to you. What role is Reverend Hyde playing in this meeting? Just as a spokesman,
Reverend Hyde is the one who's been doing this research because I just haven't had the time. This is a very busy time for me. So she has been doing the research, so I'm allowing her to answer the questions.
She's acting as moderator or not? Just an assistant? Or?
She's answering the questions because she's done the research. I can try to answer the questions, but I don't have the information.
If you're following Robert's rules, I just didn't know what rule allowed that to happen. These are the dialogues directly with the moderator. That's all. I'd love to know what the rule is that allows us to do that.
I would think that our goal is to try and have a clear communication and as much information as possible.
Jennifer? Marty?
I just want to make sure that I'm understanding what we're doing. Because this has been withdrawn, and you're going to be doing more research, so at the end of this day, what we're going to be doing is extending our meeting one more time for a couple more months until that is done, or are we ending and accepting laws as they are?
No, we would be adjourning this meeting. We would be operating under the prior bylaws, and then the committee is planning on getting back together, doing more research, as Reverend Linda's mentioned, working with Attorney Fernald, and then bringing something different back to the congregation.
This year?
By mid-year or set deadline?
We're hoping by June.
Thank you.
Sydney?
Is the task force aware, do you think, of what the major points of contention are?
Yes, I believe the task force is very aware of what the major points of contention are.
Would those be, maybe we should share those as we have a great audience here, that we're all on the same page, as it were? Or is that not appropriate? I'm not sure of the rules.
What I would suggest is write up what those concerns are and email them to a member of the Bylaws Task Force.
Who is?
And we have a record.
We don't get to hear. There's a lot of stuff I have not heard of, and that you can granted, I haven't been here every week or anything like that, but I want to know all the details, because and Kitty did bring me the paper last week and stuff like that, but I'm very concerned that once again in this town we're losing our heart again. They did it with our school system, we dearly love. They did it with a lot of our traditions, the dearly love. Mm-hmm. And now you're going to take our church. And we need to be able to, if our neighbor's house burns down, and United Church of Christ has all the say on our money that is going in there, we should be able to, are we going to be able to spend it the way we want to spend it?
Okay, I think number one, I think the biggest confusion is the dissolution article. That is required by state law if the church were to dissolve, where the money goes. It has nothing to do with how the money is spent right now. The congregation loses no control over the money.
If these rules pass, the new laws are passed?
If the new bylaws are passed, that's only to say what happens with the money if we were to dissolve. If this church were no more, where does the money go? it's a requirement under state law to have a dissolution clause in there. And the choice is have a dissolution clause and say that it goes to another organization or let the state take it. But it does not control how, as long as this church has one person in it, it does not control what happens to the money.
And would we have to go through a big procedure? Say our neighbor's house burned down and we wanted to rebuild, or we wanted to do this, or the problem with the ceiling. Do we have to go through a lot of different laws to get it?
No, the church controls any money, any assets that it has. This church, as long as it has membership and is in existence, controls its assets. Nobody else has any say over it. You probably have to go to the trustees or the council, but this church controls. There's nothing in that clause that says anybody else controls our assets. It is just in case we were to dissolve. That's it. Kitty?
Just on a note, when we were mentioning when if the church was to dissolve, though, it wouldn't automatically go to the state, though. It would go into, there would be a period of 3 years where we would be able to determine where it would go if it didn't automatically go to the UCC, though, right?
If the church were to dissolve, the state steps in immediately. The money, the assets do not necessarily go to the state.
But the
charitable trust for the state of New Hampshire immediately steps in.
The state of New Hampshire immediately takes the church's assets and real estate for its resolved, because that's not the article of agreement.
No. It doesn't automatically take the assets, but it steps in to determine what is done with those assets.
It's a unanimous vote of the church body, correct? That's
one of the reasons we want to continue to work with an attorney to find clarity on that.
Jim?
The disillusionment clause, let's say three generations down the road, it made sense to shut this church down. The congregation at that time could change that clause. That clause is not cast in concrete.
No, that's correct.
I mean, they could say, we want it to go to this charitable trust, this charitable trust, this charitable trust. So it's not cast in concrete.
As long as it conforms to the requirements of state law and the New Hampshire charitable trust, whatever.
Same thing.
We're almost controlled by the bylaws that we have in place. And it is highly recommended by anyone in the legal world and beyond to update your bylaws or rewrite them a lot more frequently than this church has. In looking into our history, sometimes it's been 30 years when the bylaws, nobody paying attention to them. And I guarantee you that a good number of you people sitting here have never paid attention to them until this issue came up. And that's not good. We need to update the bylaws periodically, and this is what the task force is trying to do. We're trying to come into the 21st century. I went to a seminar yesterday and found that churches are notorious for just bubbling along, not doing what they should be doing. And in many instances, suddenly something comes crashing down on them and they're in trouble. And I was, in the class that I was in, commended for being part of trying to be modern and making things work the way they do in this world today. Without a dissolution clause, then we're in a whole lot of trouble as far as our money is concerned, because this is a required law. And the last time in 2008 when we rewrote our bylaws, we didn't know we were supposed to have that there. Just the same as so many of the things that we have brought to the front here, we didn't know that until we started investigating. And it's, I'm just trying to reassure you that we're trying to do the right thing. We're not trying to take away anything. We're not trying to destroy anything. We're trying to make us function the way the world functions now. And as Debbie said, the Charitable Trust Division of the state of New Hampshire, they're the only ones that they can grab onto us if we were to dissolve. I personally hate this thought of dissolving. Why is everybody so concerned about our church dissolving? Come on, let's work with our church and make it the church it can be. Let's not worry about being dissolved. That's a terrible attitude to have when you're worried about it being dissolved. Just let's work together and make it the really good church that it's already started to be.
If I could have a bylaws task person who's been working on this so hard just answer the question, but I've looked at other different samples of bylaws across the country, across the state, UCC, basically. And not all of them are necessarily having that language. And I just think it might be helpful if to know what are the options. I mean, is this a little bit of a smorgasbord? Can it be that other churches that have had other language that does not say that it all goes to the UCC? I'm not even going to tell you what my stance is on that. I just want to know because I've heard that question be asked. This is a kind of black and white, that's where it's all going to go, and that's what has to be put in the clause. So if I could have a, you're on the bylaws task? Yeah, you're.
I'm on there.
Yeah.
So some of this, I'm aware that some of you are here that really haven't been part of the process we've gone through. When we had informational gathering in January, then after the annual meeting, I had another gathering called Conversation with the Pastor. And the reason that I did that was because there is a lot of misunderstanding and untruths, really, that have been floating around about this. One of the things that we have talked about at these gatherings is how we did this. We did not do it in a bubble. We did it with the very thing you were describing. We looked at numerous bylaws and what have you. As far as it being a smorgasbord, well, I guess I wouldn't call it that. I mean, there are definite articles that need to be in there. And this whole idea of constitution and bylaws is about our principles, and it's a handbook. It's a handbook about how we govern ourselves and how we are this community together.
Oh, I got that.
Yeah.
That's
so
that's not addressing the question I have.
Can you tend to ask it again?
So in other samples of bylaws that have a dissolution clause, the wording that is so specific to say that, all of our assets and even now and for the future would be all going to the UCC and the New Hampshire Conference.
Right.
What I'm just wondering is the other bylaws and the other samples of bylaws from other churches, are they just not up to date? They just haven't really been on board with what the recommendations are? Or I know that some of them have been, actually one of them comes from where we have retained the attorney firm. I kind of find it hard to believe that their church would not be up to date, considering they have a couple of really good attorneys on their board.
I'm not going to speak to that.
No, I can't speak to that. I'm just saying that I've seen examples of others, and I think that I have heard this question coming as to whether there are other, and smorgasbord is not a good term, but are there other wordings?
There certainly are other wordings, and again, as I started off, we have
you know, in meeting with the attorney, you know, it would like to explore that further, do a little more historical research on our church even, you know, on where the evolution of our bylaws, you know, and not just the last version that we looked at. So that's what made us kind of take a step back and say, you know, we want to take another look at this. Barbara?
Deb, I don't know if we can just switch a little bit here, and if you could speak to the membership issue, because that's really a great concern for me. I know that I haven't been showing up, and there's a variety of reasons for that, and I know that according to the old bylaws, I'd be put on the inactive list. I could be put there, and I could lose my voting rights. Fair enough. But what's really upsetting to me is in the revised laws, I just wondered if somebody could speak to and give me a little clarity on the point where it says, member status may be terminated by discernment of the Worship and Spiritual Life Committee in consultation with the minister. As opposed to, I think, you know, what is it that we need to do to build the community church back up?
Okay, so we talked about this in depth at my conversation with the pastor meeting, and what we did was actually what Sydney's, you know, recommending, that we sat and we looked at the old bylaws and we looked at the new bylaws, and if you look at the old bylaws, you will find that sort of membership has to say how people come in, has to define the different types of the different categories, and it says how people go out. And so that just needs to be in there.
But the wording is very different. Members whose address in the old bylaws have long been unknown, they could be put to the inactive list, or for a period of 2 years or more, in spite of kindly reminders, and have not been communicated. I live 2 miles down the road, and nobody has made a kindly gesture to me at all in the last couple of years. So the old way that it's been written is very different from the new one.
Okay, well, we talked about this at the meeting. In fact, Linda shed some light into how deacons or worship and spiritual life team normally go about discerning that. And the bylaws committee had decided that that's something that's really procedural, that can change over time. And so the purpose of leaving that out, we want something like that to be more in like a diaconate handbook, not necessarily in bylaws, because our hope is that we don't have to change them for something that's a simple procedure.
However, and I don't mean to keep, you know, you could decide that there are a variety of people who are not meeting the needs of the Forward Motion Church, and as it's written, you could invite them to leave, so to speak.
That's not who we are.
Like.
Well, but that's what it feels like, and I can tell you that's what it's been feeling like on the outside as a former very active member.
Well, that's not who we are as a church.
I'm a deacon of this church, even though I don't live in Temple. But I love this church, and I love the people who worship here. Mm-hmm. And no one is going to tell you can't be a member of this church unless you say you don't want to be anymore.
Thank you.
Good.
Okay. We've never met either. I'm new to the church, and I'm a new member. I'm a new trustee here as well. I've only been here for a couple of years in town. Let me tell you, I'm not going anywhere. Nor do I think this church is going anywhere. In the 2 years that I've been here and in my process of getting to know everybody in the church, I have never felt the inkling, even an inkling, that anybody has ever wanted anybody to go away. Nobody is ever going to be pushed out. I have not gotten that feeling. There is no new feeling or anything even remotely like that. That's just my two cents.
Thank you.
And I'd also like to say that I'd love to see all of you as many Sundays as you could get here. You know, and have everybody become involved again. It was never the intention as a member of the Bylaws Committee. Oh, Sandy would like to say something.
No one would be any happier than me to see all these lovely faces as many Sundays as you could. And I just wonder as someone who is here in day in and day out, because I choose to be, why you don't come. This issue has evidently raised some questions that many of these questions would be answered all the time if you were part of. Also, as far as never being contacted, it's not, Linda Conway can address this better than I can, but I believe that a letter went out, maybe, was it 2 years ago, Linda?
It had to be at least 2 years ago.
About 2 years ago, asking everyone that got this letter, and it was everybody that was on the membership, if they wanted to continue to be an active member, an inactive member, or what would they rather, would they like to resign from the church. They got almost none of those responses back. Nobody answered. Just very, very few people responded to that. So how is someone supposed to function if nobody responds?
As chair of the deacons at that point, no, we did get probably 3/4 of response.
All right, then I stand corrected because Linda indicated that we got no.
Well, we had to push out. There was a couple of sending again of requests, but no, we kept that.
Okay, I stand corrected on that. But if that's what, if you want to be a part of the church, then I'm just saying let's be part of the church. And not just sit out on the sidelines all the time.
Yeah.
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 May I just
wanted
to come up and
talk?
Yeah, they can't hear back here.
I think we could probably be here all afternoon discussing all the discrepancies or differences of opinions of all the articles. But what I found most interesting when I started reading the bylaws, and sort of thank God we had these. This issue of bylaws, because I never read bylaws, I never knew the old bylaws, the current bylaws existed. But anyway, so having read Robert's Rules, it's fascinating how it deals with human nature and how we ought to go about doing things like this. And revising bylaws is a unique thing that the church does. It says here on page 331, chapter 20, bylaws, "It must be remembered about a revision is that it is like presenting new bylaws for the first time. Everything in the proposed revision is open to change by the membership, not just the changes that the committee proposes making to the previous bylaws." And then it goes on just a little bit longer here. "After all the articles are read, discussed, and amended, the revision as a whole is open for discussion again and further amending." It goes 3 or 4 pages in here. And what's fascinating, it starts off by saying, you need to get the politics out of this business. And the way you get the politics out of business is you have these meetings, even the committee meeting, even the bylaw committee should be composed of all the most contentious peoples in your church. Because you want all the fighting, all the discrepancies, all the differences done at the meetings, at these bylaw meetings. Then you come to the church as a collective body and you discuss every single article. This way the members can consider the document carefully. And I think, my sense is, and this has sort of been my theme since the first informational meeting, if this had been done, we had the opportunity to discuss every single article, every single word, because with lots and lots of the pages of notes myself, of looking at why is this change, why is that change, it might be totally a very simple change. It might even just be a semantic change, but nevertheless, it pops in your eye because we're all thinking, discerning human beings, and we need to do that. So I'm just hoping that ending this meeting, that if we're going to pursue these bylaws again, we present it just the way Robert's Rule says, giving the whole congregation, the whole assembly of this wonderful membership of this church, the opportunity to review every article and its details. Thank you.
Okay, Wendy would like to say something, but I want to say something first. We worked, the Bylaws Task Force worked 18 months, more than once a month on these bylaws. Our meetings were well known, they were publicized in the bulletin. They were open to anyone who wished to appear. We kept during morning announcements, we would say where we had changed, that we had made changes to certain things. No one took the opportunity except Marty to show up. Wendy?
I'm one of those bad church doors. I was very active for a lot of years. But that being said, I think we need to take, one of the reasons I stepped back, which was just asked, why did you step back to the church? Why did you do that? Well, I did because we were turning into a problem church, not a solution church. Mm-hmm. We got to start thinking, where's the line in the sand of membership for you? What is it? Tell people. Share it with people. Share what that line in the sand for you is. Is it that I came to church today? Is it that I came to church 5 times a year? Is it that I never came to church, but I sent money? So those things, what is your solution to that? Where's the solution? We got to start thinking about how you fix it, not I'm complaining about this. And you're all good people, and I love you all, and I miss seeing you. But leaving meetings almost in tears was not a thing I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. My heart was in it, and it hurt. Okay? So I think that's something that needs to happen. As Debbie said, open meetings. Not just if you're on the board, you can go to these meetings. Go, state your piece. I think that's a good thing. The dissolution clause. Okay, so we have to have it. So what do we do with it? Well, figure that out. Do we find a charitable contribute place to contribute our money to of like, it has to be of like,
religious.
Yeah, it has to be of religious base. It has to have something religious base. If every last member, if I was the last one here, and we took a vote, it had to be a unanimous vote that we were going to end this church. Mm-hmm. Sad thing to think about. But every one of you would have to say, yes, I want to dissolve this church. I don't see anybody here so far, so I think we're doing all right. But then what is the possibility of creating a charitable donation, a charitable organization that we want to donate this all to? Well, let's make it happen. Let's not sit here and say, I don't want to go to UCC. Hey, you know what? I don't want to go to UCC either. Anybody with me? So I think that's what we're needing to say here is, well, what's the solution? We have to have a dissolution clause. We're coming up and coming, trying to be legal about this. What is it? Where does it go? Make it happen. Find a solution. And I think that's about it. So I think if we can get all that together, you know, we praise that children were born today. We said, oh, a new life, isn't that cool? And yet we look around and we go, oh, that one. Who wouldn't like this? No, work together. See the benefits in every person here. And that's what we need to do. And you gotta love one another. And you know, keep your enemies closer, okay? You know, you gotta love one another and work this together. So that's my piece. Mention two brief things. When I looked at the history of what was written about my time here with the children, and I love the kids, there was hardly anything said. And I thought, wow, I was really, really upset about that. But the other thing that is really why I don't walk through these doors anymore is that almost 2 years ago, my husband was diagnosed with brain and lung cancer, and we've been fighting lung surgery, brain surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation, you name it, we've done it. We've been living in hell down there for 2 years. And the only message I got, I'm on the list, I'm an active member. The only message that I got from the minister of my church was a message on the answering machine. And that breaks my heart. And I get messages from other people in other churches, come join us, Barb. And I just can't make that because I really love this here. And that's why I can't come here. Besides, in the beginning, I did come here, and I actually did invite you to my house before you showed up. I was so excited about you coming.
And I just, you know, sometimes you can't just show up, and it needs to be a little bit more personal. You know, get on the phone. Hey, Barb, what's going on? You know, why don't you come on down? You know, just mailing things, I get it. And Deb, I get everybody showing up and doing that work. And I thank you for doing that work. All the bylaws, that is a lot of work. And I'm going to stop talking.
Peter.
Just a brief comment here.
Okay, Helen first, then, please.
Because Ruthie can't hear, and can you be at the mic?
At the microphone.
Please, thank you.
I can be louder. I still can't hear you.
I remember that now. You can't hear me.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm deaf.
I'm sorry, I don't like the microphone, but I'll try.
I have one question that I do not understand, so I'm going to ask. In that dissolution thing that says it all goes to the does that absolutely mean that, well, there'd be no members left of the church, right? So we would just, nobody would be coming. We've got $6,000 or more with all kinds of income, which is more money than I can even imagine, that we wouldn't have long before that done some other things that maybe with our, not with our principal, but with our interest money, wouldn't we have done some of these wonderful things like helping someone whose house would burn down or something? I mean, we're not totally unaware of needs in our own community here. So, couldn't we do some of these wonderful things? We're trying to do wonderful things now. We're feeding the hungry. We're helping kids go to college. We're trying to meet everybody's needs. We have one minister with all of us. She hasn't had time to visit me until I got in an accident, nearly got killed 2 weeks ago. I mean, she never came to my house. Well, I come here every single Sunday. I didn't expect her to. But she tries to go and see whoever needs to be seen, or let her know, call her up and say, I want to see you. There's a lot of things that are being done here nowadays. And I am totally amazed at the amount of time that Reverend Linda spends taking care of all the things that keep coming up. I was not aware of them. I only sang in the choir until I got to be a deacon. Believe you me, I found out how much work goes on here. So, that's what I have to say.
Can you get it right
now?
I would like to move to adjourn the meeting, seeing as we have no motion and no other official church business.
Quick comment, please.
Two things. One is I've been told that we do not, yes, legally, if you started after 1999, you should have a dissolution clause. But before that, your grandfather didn't, you don't have to, because the state will take care of it. As soon as you end your church, there's all these regulations from the state. And it's fascinating. The state and the IRS understand this conflict. And so they say very specifically, especially the federal government, the IRS regulations, which really outline how you dissolve. They say very specifically, don't identify a particular thing. Your dissolution clause should just say, we will dissolve according to the rules and regulations and the laws of New Hampshire and the federal government. That gives you all the options to change anything and adopt when you're going to dissolve.
Thank you. Thank you.
It says, and seek counsel, too. We have a motion from Jennifer to adjourn. Do I have a second?
Second
by Dick Benatti. All in favor of adjourning? This meeting is adjourned.